Welcome to season 4 of the Fit Farming Food Mom Podcast. Connie is a world champion powerlifter, former bodybuilder, and an elite trainer and nutrition coach. As a movement enthusiast and health nerd, she is here on this show to speak with educated guests and dive into the realm of all things health, fitness, mindset, and everything in between. If you enjoy this show, please do us a huge favor by smashing the like or subscribe button and leaving a review. Now, let's get to the show.
Welcome back to another episode. I'm sure it was long awaited. It's been summer. My dad was visiting from Mexico, so I enjoyed some time with him. And I am back at it. I've got a couple of great interviews headed your way. Starting with today, my friend Thomas Witt. He goes by the One-Armed Hercules on Instagram, and he is a powerlifter, but he's doing it all with one arm, which is extremely impressive. So today we talk about his journey, what got him where he is now, what all of that looked like, and what it looked like to go through a catastrophic injury but still continue to do the things that you love to do. So we dive into all that stuff, even the dark times that he went through in the process. And this is just a really good interview about perseverance and continuing on even when you don't know what the future looks like. So I really enjoyed talking with Tommy about all of this, and I'm excited to get to the show. Before I do that, I want to remind you about my favorite electrolyte element, or LMNT, however you would like to pronounce it. It is full of sodium, potassium, and magnesium. Many of us are deficient, especially after going to a cleaner style of eating, in sodium, potassium, and magnesium. Magnesium and potassium in particular, a lot of people are not getting enough in the foods that they eat. So it's really, really important. Oftentimes that like 2 o'clock lull you get in the afternoon can actually be due to an electrolyte imbalance. So huge fan of the product, no artificial sweeteners in it, nothing bad, everything in you that you need, nothing that you don't. So definitely check it out. Pop on over to drinklmnt.com/Connie. By going to the website that way, you can get yourself a sample pack with your first order that has all of the flavors in them, even some of the wacky ones, mango habanero and chili lime and all of that. So I'm a huge fan of the chocolate. My husband isn't, but we will leave that up to you. I also have clients making amazing recipes like gummy bears and popsicles and all sorts of awesome stuff with the product that doesn't have any added sweetener and is a great sweet treat and no carbs or anything like that in it. So really great product, drinklmnt.com/Connie. So let's get to the show. All right, Tommy, I'm super excited to have you on the show. First of all, I don't remember who followed who first, but I was like, this guy is awesome. And so I've been following you ever since, probably like over a year now, I'm sure. And you're doing some really amazing things powerlifting, which is really cool in and of itself. But then you also only have one arm. And that gets a lot of us thinking like, okay, what are my limits actually, right? Because it's so easy to give up on things if you feel like you have a setback, and here you are crushing it. So I'm really excited to talk about this today on the show.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Well, so I guess the best thing to do would be to start with your story, what happened, and then how that progressed throughout all of this so that you could get into powerlifting.
Okay. Yeah, so July 5th of 2017, I think it is, I was down here visiting my wife on leave. And it's kind of hilarious because I was actually set to deploy to Qatar, deploy like very loosely used because it's not a real deployment. And I came down here because I was stationed up in Delaware at the time and she was stationed down here in Georgia. And I came down here to visit her before I was going to go overseas. And she had to work like most of the days that I was down here visiting her. And the fifth was like our first day going to be together for like 2 weeks while I would be on leave down here. And so I'm just, having a good time by myself. I'm down at her dad's range shooting my guns. And then like I get bored because it was super hot that day. The humidity down here is terrible in the summer. And so I was riding a side by side, a Polaris Razor. I think his is an 800 or 900 cc engine. And I don't know exactly what happened, but when I was on one of the trails, I remember the Razor like flipping over onto the driver's side. His didn't have seat belts, so it's not like I flung out the front of it. I just skidded along the side along with the Razor on the driver's side. And the hospital, like they said, like none of like when they did the MRI or CAT scan, that I had no like brain damage, but I definitely think I had a concussion because I was out for like a couple of minutes before I came to. And I was like, dang, like, okay, here's my right arm. Now, where's my left arm? Because I'm like seated down and like laying on the side of that razor. And so I like grabbed my left arm because I thought I could feel it, but apparently I couldn't. Because when I pulled it up and I started to stand up and come to, I realized that, like I looked down at my left arm because I like it just didn't feel right at that point when I stood up. And I looked down and it's literally hanging on by like this much of skin. Like the artery, my brachial artery was severed. I had an open fracture in my elbow, or not, I had an open fracture in my wrist and an openly dislocated elbow is what the doctors called it. I tore everything in the elbow that you can tear. And so I'm standing there for a second and I'm like, you have to remain calm or you're gonna bleed out to death in the middle of the woods by yourself. So I'm sitting there and I just take a breath and I pull my phone out from my pocket on my right side and I call 911 and I tell the operator what's going on. And at first, I don't think she took me seriously because I was like, hey, like I need an ambulance. I just rolled over on a side by side. I severed my artery in my left arm. Like I need EMS now. And she's like, did you break it? And I was like, well, it's like openly broken, like yeah. And I'm sitting there and I've got my t-shirt wrapped around it as best that you can wrap it around something like that. I've had first aid training through the military, through like their self-aid and buddy care, and then I did a little bit of EMS volunteering beforehand, but it's not like I was an active member. I was just doing ride-alongs to get the feel for that kind of stuff. And so I'm sitting there waiting for EMS to arrive. And I can hear like the ambulance sirens up by my in-laws' house because it's probably like a half mile in the woods or so from their house where I'm at. And I'm like down a steep hill and just like way back in there. Like like you have to take a pickup truck to like get back there. And so I can finally hear him coming, and then EMS and like a cop gets down there, and they're like dumbfounded how they're gonna like drive, like get me up there because they don't want to walk me all that way because of how much blood I've lost. And so, they finally get like a pickup truck down there and they drive us up. And I did ask for a cigarette because I smoked at the time. I was like, hey, does anybody have a cigarette right now? Because I could really relieve some stress right now. And the EMS guy, I was surprised. He actually let me smoke in the bed of the truck on the way up to the EMS. And then we're riding. It's probably like a 45-minute drive to the hospital that they took me to. And I'm begging the EMT to give me some like morphine because like my adrenaline is starting to settle down. I'm starting to come back to reality a little bit. And he's like, No, like I can't give you this because what if you pass out and you die? And I was like, I'm gonna die from the pain if I don't get something to like kill the pain. And then finally, and it's something I've just started recently remembering from that time is once we got to the hospital, I didn't really go into shock until they put me in the CAT scan machine and make sure I was okay in that from then. And then after that, I spent about 2 months recovering in the hospital there in Macon. And about halfway through my stay, so like my family at the time, they drove down from Ohio and came and visited me a few times, especially like the first week or whatever, initially after the accident. But about halfway through, so they took like my main vein in my right leg and they did a bypass in my left arm to restore like blood flow. And they basically salvaged it the best that they could at the time, which it was all up in bandages. I had an external fixator and everything, and they did this bypass, and about halfway through my hospital stay, the bypass in that arm had failed. It literally just started bleeding out from the I guess it wasn't a sling, but it was I guess we'll just say a sling is what it was basically in with the external fixator and stuff. And it started bleeding through the bandages and luckily I had a nurse already in there, like that was like checking my blood pressure and giving like starting to give my pain meds and stuff at that time. And so I almost bled out like halfway through my hospital stay before I went home at I think it was the end of August. It's when I finally got to go home with my wife to recover at home. And then after that, it was like 4 more months of surgeries every week or every other week. I had, it was over 20, probably over 30 in that time frame. And they had me on OxyContin for 3 times daily, muscle relaxers 3 times daily. And they had a gabapentin. I was on that, like a really high dose of all three of those, like the highest doses that you could have for 6 months. And it was just, those first 6 months were like the most miserable 6 months being on all those, plus what had happened. Those just made it worse.
Now, when all of this was going down, I believe that somewhere you brought up, not in this podcast, but you've brought it up on your social media, that you were just like, no, guys, we're done doing all this surgery and stuff. Just take my arm off. And they didn't want that to happen, right? They actually fought you on that.
So like when I woke up like the first day or two after I don't know if it was the next day or the same day or whatever, but I kind of looked at it and I was like, well, why the hell do I still have my arm? Like I seen how bad it was like when it happened. I thought they would have just chopped it off. Like on the day that it happened, I thought it was basically gone. And so like a week or two into this, I had been looking at other amputees on Facebook through some group. I met a guy that had like a BPI injury, a brachial plexus injury, and he had his amputated like a year after. I had reached out to him after I saw him doing like CrossFit stuff and running and all that, and he was like, yeah man, like it was like the best decision that I ever made. And then I read about like Casey Mitchell and Derek Whyta, like their story. Like I think Derek had his leg for like a couple of years after it got shot or whatever and then had it amputated. So I was like what's the problem? Like I know the reality of the situation. Like my arm is like completely fucked, so like can we just chop it off? And the orthopedic doctor, he's like, I want to wait a year and let your nerves regrow in your hand to see like what you can feel and hold and stuff. And I was like, so you just want to waste my time basically and just not get to the point that we know is going to happen. And then I think it was February of 2018 where I reached out to like I want to say it was the med group on base and went through like the wounded care guy to get me like a referral through TRICARE to go and see another orthopedic doctor and get his opinion on getting it amputated sooner. And I still technically had to wait like a year after my after the initial accident anyway because of all this other stuff.
So the time comes to where you're like, okay, I'm gonna have this amputated. You have it amputated, and then let's talk about recovery, because all you've got all this, I mean, I can only imagine you've got all this mid-range time where you're sitting around with this obviously gotta be extremely painful, useless arm. Right. And so then you've got to wait until you can actually start your journey to recover after you have the amputation done. So amputation time comes. After they do that, how did you feel like the pain was, like it was almost an immediate thing, or more, I guess the word I'm looking for is it wasn't dragging on as far as the healing process goes?
Like, are you talking about like the pain specifically with it? Well, yeah, so and even like today, like, but I think most of the pain today like comes just from like my upper body days. But like I did get because my hand was so numb, like I don't want to say there wasn't any pain, but like sometimes it was hard to differentiate when there was pain. Like your mind's almost like playing games on you. If that makes sense with it.
So, yeah, that was, I guess, my question. So, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of mental pieces to this, right? Like, you had to make the decision to be like, okay, yeah, we're done with this. And then, so were you into powerlifting prior to the arm?
Kind of, sort of. Like, I thought I was into powerlifting, but I was kind of stupid and just like doing whatever the hell I wanted to. So in like 2013, I started lifting while I was again deployed to a non-combat zone. I met some Marines that we worked hand in hand with like Marines, Navy, and Army at the transit base, the base you go to before you get to Afghanistan. And so I started working out with him and then like a couple of the Air Force guys, like they were showing me, but like looking back at what I know now, especially after like a lot of the books I've read and working, well, not like working, but like training with the guys like at Dirty South, because we've had a guy go to West Side Barbell, like and learning from those guys, like I didn't know what the hell I was doing prior to that. I was kind of like into bodybuilding almost like in 2013, that's like the time like you got Kai Greene and Phil Heath at each other's throats. So like I was really into that and I wanted to, do Mr. Olympia, at that certain time. But afterwards, once I started learning things and really lifting and training, I was like, powerlifting is like just so much better.
So I have to laugh and giggle about all this, right? Because I think we've all been there in our like fitness journey. Some of us don't get any smarter, but most of us do, right? We look back and we're like, yeah, I immediately within starting training, I was like gonna be a bodybuilder and I was gonna do all these things. And then you look back at how you
Yeah.
were training and how you were recovering, and you're just like, oh my God, I don't even want to talk about that part of my life, you know? But
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
so I have to have a little giggle about that. So the arm is now gone. You decide you want to get back into powerlifting. How long did this take for you to decide you were going to pull the trigger on this, and what did that look like?
I'm sorry, my phone, it was breaking up a little bit right there.
Oh, no worries. So you decide that you're going to get back into powerlifting after you lose the arm. What did that look like? How long did it take?
So I started training like at it's kind of like a commercial, like a local commercial gym. I started training there, and The guy, the owner there, he was just buying the gym at the time, but he was telling me about these guys, and I was still doing like bodybuilding stuff, or thought I was doing bodybuilding stuff at the time. He was telling me about these guys that used to come in there like back in the day. They were like, yeah, they got this gym over naked. If you're really serious, like, here's his name, message him on Instagram. And this is, I don't know, maybe like, I think my doctor cleared me in like October to start lifting again. So this is October to December of 2018. He's like, go over there. And I think the first time I went over there to really train with these guys was in February of 2019. And I started listening to the guy who owned the gym. He guided me and coached me a little bit towards my first meet. I had originally planned to do like deadlift only because I was like, oh, it's pointless for me to get on the platform and bench, 85 pounds with the bar. And then I kept having friends like, they're like, oh, just go and do it, just do all three lifts, So I changed my meet entry for, I think it was like May of that year to put me in full power, and I ended up doing the first meet in 2019 of May.
So this is pretty cool because a lot of out of the box thinking probably had to happen. Now, I mean, I'm not sure how many people on here are big into fitness and whatnot. I know I have quite a few listeners that are some strongman and stuff like that, but I mean, deadlift, there's quite a few different kinds of adaptive stuff for deadlift, but you're taking it to a whole new level because we're talking bench. That's really hard. So the first meet that you did, were you using a prosthetic for bench? How did you do it? What did it look like?
So no, I didn't even get my prosthetic arm, my first real one, I didn't even get until dang. Well, I guess I kind of got it like right after my amputation, but it was kind of like a kind of crappy. Like it wasn't what I had asked for. They didn't do like physical therapy or anything with me, so it was kind of like, what the hell? Like what am I supposed to do with this? And so the first meet I ended up just doing with bench. I just ended up benching with one arm. I think it was like 95 or like 102 pounds. Like it's nowhere near what what my bench is with my prosthetic arm is, but I really only worked one-handed bench for like 2 months before the meet. So maybe April and May is when I actually started to like bench with one hand and just say, well, fuck it.
I like one-handed bench for 95 or 100 pounds is still mind-boggling if you think of the leverages that have to happen and the strain on the shoulder and the wrist. Like you'd have to be compensating. Like
Oh,
there's
yeah.
that's crazy that you even went for it with that. So I'm like, dude, this is sweet. So and then let's talk about squat. So you and I talked about this a little bit. I had a pretty bad injury to my shoulder back in January. They attempted to repair it and it didn't go well, and they angered my brachial plexus. I'm not going to call it a BPI because it wasn't full-fledged, but I had zero use of my arm for like a solid 5 months.
Right.
And I had the craziest nerve things going on. I felt like I had Parkinson's disease. I would shake nonstop. It was awful, right? But I was determined to keep going. So here I am trying to come up. I know I sent you a couple months. I was like, hey, what do you think of this? Like, can you do this? But squatting is with one arm is scary as fuck.
I don't
And
think I squatted like 6 months until like after my amputation because I was like, how the hell am I going to hold the bar?
I mean, so when I watch you squat, I mean, and now you've had all this practice, I'm still scared. So I can imagine you sign up for this first full power meet. I mean, what did you end up squatting and what was the trick? I mean, like, that's crazy to me that were you able to did you use straps? Did you just do it like you do now? Were you just freehand it? What did it look like?
I just freehanded it, and at this time, I had only like practiced like a couple of months for squat. Like I had done it a literally like a handful of times, no pun intended. But I had gotten somehow gotten like a gym lift of like 315. It was probably like 2 inches high though. And I was like, well, I guess I'll just like, at the time I was doing holding my nub up with the bar on that side. I would just really high bar the hell out of the bar and probably put it too high at the time and then just put my other arm over there and hope for the best. And I think I ended up squatting like 275, 279. And I mean, I still hate squatting to this day. Like it's miserable putting my one good arm up, and I know like I could get injured, if I do the wrong thing, or it might cause stress to my shoulder. But I'm like, well, you got to do all three lifts, so just kind of like suck it up. And I try to go for like the lowest squat amount right now that I got to get to my total that I want.
I like that. I could feel you on that. I actually just got my hand started getting my hand consistently behind the bar again, just recently. So, things were it was like safety squat bar forever, right? But anyway, yeah, so this is all really cool. So at what point were you like, okay, I need to find somebody that can make me prosthetics for powerlifting?
So I think the VA had called me probably like 2 months after I had retired from the Air Force, and because I just started going, yeah, it was about 2 months because I had just gone to like my initial appointment with the VA, and they were like, oh, do you want like to go through our prosthetics program? There's a guy here in Macon. And I was like, well, I was kind of disappointed the first time I went through and got whatever the heck this thing was, which I wish I had a picture to post because that thing was hilarious looking compared to the prosthetics I have now. And so this guy is in Macon, and it's kind of hilarious because he's like 2 blocks over from the hospital that I was at when I was hospitalized. So I was like, why the hell didn't anybody call over to this guy? Have him come talk to him if he wants his arm amputated so badly, explain what he wants, and then he could get the prosthetics that he wants. Like that just seems to make too much sense to me. But this guy, he had plenty of experience with arm and hand amputees because he worked up in Athens, Georgia, and there's a bunch of chicken farms up there. And so people are losing fingers, hands, arms, like all the time, I guess. And so probably want to say like April or March of 2020 was when I got my first like real prosthetic.
And then now your prosthetics are pretty sweet. I mean, you've got specialized ones for, it looks like you have specialized ones for every lift, do you?
Yeah, so I've got my deadlift prosthetic, and I mean, I can use that for like farmers. Trying to think, farmers, I guess wheelbarrow carries, anything where I'm going to carry anything or like a deadlift. And it's pretty pointless to bench without one because I'm sure you've seen it like in the video, like it's got like a hollow elbow and the forearm's adjustable, and it's not meant to be pressed with. It can't handle like the bench, it won't even handle like 225. And then once I figured out I could bench with that arm, that deadlift arm, once I saw that, I came up with the idea with my prosthetic guy. I was like, hey, is there a way where we could make this like solid or whatever so I can bench with and it doesn't break? And he was like, yeah. And this prosthetic arm that I bench with took forever to make. It took a good 5 or 6 months because they had to have, he said, like the internal part of it, like where the elbow would be to the forearm, is like welded together so it can support like whatever weight that I'm going to bench.
Yeah, because that's scary. We've all seen benches go wrong with people that have two good arms, add a prosthesis and the ability to not get out of the way, and it could definitely get real hairy.
Yeah, because I mean I'm locked into the bar too with the hand device that's on there. So I mean I've pretty much accepted the fact like I've already died three times. Like if I die a fourth time, like just take me out. I'm ready to get that point.
Well, and that's what I think sometimes when I watch you bench, that you're connected to these things. Like it's like a clamp system. People can go stalk you on Instagram or whatever. It's a clamp system. You're hanging out with whatever's attached to you, no matter what happens with it.
Yep. Like Ape Man, they shared like one of my deadlifts and like some guy commented on there, and he was just being a jerk to be a jerk. He's like, oh, so what if I'm seeing is like if he tears a hamstring, like he can't like let go of the bar or get away from the bar. I'm like, yeah, I understand that. That's a part of the risk. Like it's not like, serious like death core or whatever, but like yeah, I'm accepting that I might get injured and might have to stay with the bar for a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to dive into the mental part of this. I'm sure it's hard, or maybe not. I mean, I know people that have lost limbs or have some kind of injury where it's not hard, but I feel like we live in a society that's so quick to make a reason why they can't do something,
Right.
or they'd make a justification as to why somebody can do something better, like so and so. So and so can only work for themselves because their husband has a great job, or because they're a trust fund baby, or like it's easy to make excuses for other people, and for to justify why you may not be performing. So I'm sure you've watched people do that. I know I personally, when my shoulder was injured, I had a client. Here I am, I'm working my ass off, right? Trying to do every little thing that I can to keep things stimulated, and I'm doing everything with one arm. And I have a client smash her finger, and I was like, "Hey, I see you haven't been to the gym in a couple of days. What's going on?" "Oh, well, I smashed my fingers really bad, and I'm not able to work out." And I was at the time, I was like thinking, "Are you shitting me right now? Like, I've been working out for 4 months with no arm, and you smash your fingers and you can't go to the gym and do some leg extensions." I mean, it's a little bit hard not to like have a little bit of a, I don't want to say grudge or like a, but to get a little bit aggravated about that kind of thing, right?
I mean, like, kind of, yes, but also, like, no, because, like, I understand, like, it's not as serious as it needs to be sometimes, but, like, a smashed finger, like, like, okay, like, get the fuck over yourself. Like, as long as it's not, like, something major, I don't think there's a reason to just, like, quit or whatever, or like just skip the gym for like 5 or 6 days. Like that's kind of dumb.
Well, and that's where I was kind of going, is we it's so easy to let things get in the way of forward trajectory. So at what point was there points where you talked yourself out of going back to the gym, or were you like, I'm gonna figure this out and it's gonna happen?
I mean, so when I came home from the hospital, and even in the hospital, like I was very negative. Especially like that first day when you're like realizing what the hell's going on. You're like, I had planned to be like a cop or a firefighter when I got out of active duty and moved down here with my wife, and I was like, well, shit, like I don't even know where I'm gonna be at in a year with this thing. Like that's gonna delay it. I'm probably gonna get medically retired and you just want everything to like kind of end. Because I went through that like several. There was probably like a lot of days like in the beginning, especially the first 2 months, where I was very negative and hard on myself. But I was like, like after we get this done, like we're gonna start lifting again. We're gonna start training. Maybe we'll do bodybuilding. And because I knew that they had like the wheelchair division or whatever for like bodybuilding. So I was like, oh, well, maybe I could do that. Or like I said in the beginning, I had reached out to that guy that did CrossFit with one arm. I was like, well, if he can do that, like I can do powerlifting afterwards. Like it can't be too, like it's going to be hard, but like it can't be too hard to like at least like put up some cool numbers and stuff like that. And so, and then like my wife, she was on half days, so like she helped me through like a lot of it. And that like there would be days where like you just want to quit and give up, but like with her by my side, like kind of like talking me through everything and pushing me to walk like in the hospital, I was like, okay, like at least I can get up and walk and do that. It's like training. At least I'm moving and doing something. It may not be like lifting a barbell or anything, but I can still work around this. And there were, I would say, up until I got my arm amputated, I was very negative towards everything about it, because you're angry at the world and you're wondering like why me
Why you?
almost. And I think that goes, like there's a lot of amputees that say, oh, I never think about that. Like, I think you're lying, because you have to wonder like a little bit, like is this how it's supposed to be? So you kind of ask like a lot of questions about life and that mental aspect about it, like is this like the road that I'm supposed to be on, or is it supposed to be different? And so you're always questioning like kind of things like mentally. And that was really weird experiencing that. And I mean, like kind of still to this day, I do a little bit, you know? But I mean, definitely after the amputation, I mean, I joke around about like, oh, it must be nice to have like two arms or whatever. And of course, like I'm saying it sarcastically and as a joke to people. I don't know where I was going with that, but I was tying it into that. So yeah.
I could get that. I would totally, if something like that happened to me, I'd probably be so facetious about everything as far as like, hey, must be nice, or like,
Right.
I can definitely see some sarcasm happening there as well, but yeah. So, and I also feel like when you're going through a traumatic injury like that, not only do you have this extremely negative incident that happened, but you also add pain and lack of sleep and situation and direct, like your job's interrupted, no more routine. You like got all these other things that affect your mood and your state of being outside of the injury too, and that can compound that negative feedback loop that you kind of get stuck into.
Yeah, because I mean, like with as many pain meds as I was on, and then like being woken up every 4 to 3 hours or whatever timing that the nurses were on to take like my blood pressure on at that time, like I mean, I was like kind of pissed off and irritated, and then it just like made the negativity even worse. And it's like not trying to blame them, because like I accept what happened, like it was my own dumb fault, I was stupid. I was out there riding, and I didn't even bother to wear, like the Razor didn't have a seatbelt. And it's funny, because I had just watched like Travis Pastrana and like all those Nitro Circus guys riding on Razors doing jumps, and they were talking about like when you roll it, like you're supposed to like just tuck your arms in and just let it happen. And I was, of course, I was stupid, and I probably put my arm out to brace myself. So, I accept like my responsibility in that it was my fault. It's not being mad or negative towards them.
Totally. So let's talk about powerlifting now. So you're doing a bunch of big things, and what are you prepping for right now?
So I'm going to be doing the WRPF Nationals out in Las Vegas, and that's at the end of September. So hopefully, if I don't do anything too stupid, it should be a pretty good meet for me.
That's awesome. I'm hoping I might go because my teammate is competing down there and she's gonna kick some serious butt. So maybe I'll get to run into you down there too. But you got done with a meet, you set a bunch of records. You're just doing some really it's fun to watch how you adapt to change. Like, so for example, like to work your pec side that you don't have an arm on, you're doing flies with like bands and you're doing all sorts of really think outside the box stuff, which is really, really cool to watch.
Yeah, so I started out like the first like 2 or 3 months I was training, and even into like the first year, I was taking like a toe strap or like a robe wrist strap, and I was tying it to my knob. And then I would tie like an 80 or 85 pound dumbbell, or even like the 70s. And I would just do dumbbell presses that way, so I could still get the same exact weight. But what I didn't realize was I was probably doing like more of a fly on that side. And so when I started training more at the powerlifting gym, Dirty South, and I saw them using bands and how they use them, I was like, well, if I just choke the bands around two dumbbells, it's probably going to be a lot easier, like pain wise, and I'm still getting like good work in. So I just started going to those, and then I use like a little cable attachment that's soft enough that doesn't irritate like the nerve pain that I still have. And I mean, I feel like I'm pretty proportionate looking for just using like those two little things.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, and you got some killer legs too. So like, I see
you being under 6 foot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can feel that. I'm a chick that's 5'2". So everybody's always like, you got crazy legs. And I'm like, yeah, that's all I'm made of pretty much. So we got that. But yeah. So, I mean, you're always displaying them with your cut off short jean shorts. So there's that.
Yeah.
Well, if you could leave anybody with a word of advice, what would it be?
Oh man, just gonna put me on the spot like this. Jeez.
I mean, you can think about it for a second. I'm just saying, like, there's got to be a lot of wisdom you've learned through this process, and things that you can share with people that might help them on their own journey.
Don't quit and just keep going. I think that would probably be, if anything, because there were just so many times where I did want to quit, especially those first 2 months. They were really, really dark. And then, of course, like when I came home and my wife, she had to start going back to work because she had just landed, I think at the time, an active duty position in the Guard. And they were nice enough to let her do like half days or whatever. And then she got this, and so she had to go back like full time. And so she helped me get through like a lot of it, and to, you know, like stay and be here and, you know, live and just keep going no matter what.
Absolutely. And it's definitely a fortunate thing that you had somebody there too, that you could help you through the dark times. Right. And be that word of wisdom. So, yeah. Well, it's been awesome. How can people follow your journey and watch all the cool things that you do? And by the way, you're super freaking funny. So I get a lot of entertainment out of some of the things that you post on Instagram Reels.
Well, I mean, there's so many good ones out there. So, but I'm at @1_armed_Hercules. So
I love it. Yeah, your equipped powerlifting reel. I remember you posted that, and I just about
it's funny,
died.
I work at an equipped lifting gym, and I wish I could. If I can get into a bench shirt, I'm going to do it one day. So
that would be fun. Yeah, my son literally now, he's 16. If we lift with each other, and I haven't been equipped for a while because I'm recuperating, but he literally goes, "You're in the shirt. The bar lifts itself."
Yeah, that, you know, I give our gym owner, because he's a big equipped guy, he had the 242 multiply squat world record for a while. I think it was like 6 or 7 years is what he said. And getting to like learn from like guys who actually understand equipped lifting, is once you've learned from like those types of guys, equipped lifting becomes really cool and makes you want to try it. Whereas, you know, you get the internet tough guys just shitting on equipped powerlifting all the time. And it's like, if you guys understood how this worked, you would actually probably like it a lot.
Well, and like, I feel like And I could be wrong here, but I feel like a bench or like a, not a bench or dink, if, a deadlift suit or like a squat suit would be something that would be totally logistic for you to jump into.
Yeah, I jumped in I think it was a single ply Titan or something. It was like an old single ply suit that they had, and I jumped in that at the, I want to see it, say beginning of like 21, and luck would have it that my prosthetics harness broke when I think we had 225 or 315, and so I wasn't even, but I could feel like the pressure in the suit, the tightness, and even though I wasn't good at like bracing yet, I'm still struggling to find that now, but at that time it was really bad, and as luck would have it, my prosthetic broke like on the first or second pull that I did with that suit. So I didn't even get to see like if I could really do anything with it.
Yeah, and then that, oh, you know, so okay, now I'm getting into rabbit holes. Like, I wonder if there's some way for meat. I feel like bent or deadlift and squat, you could easily probably get into co equipment with that. Well, squat might be a little sketchy because of your hold, but I feel like for adaptive, they've got to be able to maybe like a slingshot or something, you know. I don't know. Now I'm starting thinking because you have so much surface area on that
I
other
did try
side.
a slingshot. I think it was last year during the summer. Maybe I was just fooling around like in the off season or whatever. And I did get like a little bit of rebound with it. We didn't really work up to a heavy max or anything, just because I knew from watching those guys do a flip that, you know, don't try and max it out right away. Don't try and do anything stupid or anything, and do like a two or a three board just to see what you get out of it.
Yeah, so okay, well, when you get into equipment, I'm gonna be following that too, because I think that, I mean, this is, that would be like next level stuff there, because people don't realize equipment is sketchy. It is scary. It is sketchy. They're like, oh, it's cheating. And it's like, no, it will take your face off if you screw it up. Like, there's no, like, right now I have a little bit of knee valgus. My coach is like, you ain't getting back in a squat suit until you can't, until you fix that. So, you know, there's zero margin of error. And then you add different body mechanics to that, and it can definitely, I mean, the technique learning it would be a blast, but holy cow, talk about, I mean, you'd be pushing one of your fourth life for sure on that. So
Yeah, definitely.
yeah, well, it's been awesome chatting with you. I'm looking forward to watching what happens at Nationals. That's going to be awesome, and I really appreciate you joining me today.
Yeah, thanks again for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in. To learn more about me, my online programs, or to inquire about coaching, please visit www.connienightingale.com. And remember, nothing in the contents of this show is intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any illness, and it is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult with your primary care physician before implementing any new health protocols.